About 5 years ago now, there was a popular story going around in the news about a 9-year-old boy from Napa, California, named Ryan Chiodi, who paid off his fellow student's lunch debt. He had been watching the news one day with his mom when they saw a story about a 5-year-old who was denied lunch at her school because she couldn't afford it. He said, "Nobody should have to buy their lunch at school. We should just have lunch together because we're friends, and that's what we do." And so this led him and his mother to find out what his school district's policy was. What they found out is actually a pretty common policy across schools, and that no student will be turned away if they don't have enough money to pay for a lunch. However, anytime they can't afford it, they accrue debt. It was then that Ryan decided that he wasn't going to let his fellow students have that debt anymore. So he collected his allowance money until he had the $74.50 that he needed to pay off the debt of everyone in his third grade class. And while the school office didn't understand what was happening until Ryan told them about the story, they happily took his donation. His only request: "Can you please tell my friends' families that they don't owe any money for lunch?" Now, it's not a stretch to see in Ryan similarities with our gospel reading for today. Here we've got this poor widow. She brings her last 2 coins, as small and meager as they are, she brings them to the temple treasury. And she does so amidst the hustle and the bustle of wealthy people donating large sums of money around her. The donation bins were shaped like large brass trumpets, so the more coins you put in, the louder it's going to sound. So her, with her 2 little coins, are just going to make a little ding. It's not hard to imagine her as the timid person sneaking up with her amount and slipping it into that collection plate and then blending back into the crowd to disappear. The disciples may not have even noticed her, but Jesus does. Jesus points out the significance of what the widow does. "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And so often, this scripture is used to illustrate what I think is a problematic stewardship message: that we should give more and more and more of our time and talent and treasure to the point where we have nothing left. I've heard some pastors and priests teach their congregations that they should give as much as they possibly can, and then to give a little bit more so that it hurts. After all, that is what the widow does. She gives away all the money that she had to live off of. And such pastors and priests will spin this action to show that the widow had such faith in God that she could easily part with her money, confident that God would keep her safe and care for her. The wealthy, who walked away still rich, lacked that faith. When Jesus points her out, however, Jesus never comments on her faith at all. In fact, he says nothing about faith in any of these actions. And this fact has led others to look at the passage in a different way. Instead of seeing the woman's donation as an act of faith, It is seen as a conditioned response to a corrupt practice in a corrupt system. In other words, the temple took advantage of the widow. Widows, along with orphans, are two groups that were the most vulnerable in antiquity. Neither had anyone at all to help them. Widows had lost their husbands, who were also their caretakers and sources of financial stability. Without a husband and no male family around, widows quickly became destitute. And the temple was supposed to collect donations and share them, at least in part, with the widows and the orphans in the community. The temple was their safety net, their social security. It was going to make sure that they were going to be able to live and seek shelter and feed themselves. But our widow, she comes in with her last two coins. She has been told all her life to donate to the temple. So even in abject poverty, she does. And it never should have been that way. Had the temple been doing its job, she could have donated and still had enough money to live off of. Instead, she gives the last of her money to an institution that should be caring for her, but instead milks her dry. And Jesus points her out as a way for the disciples to see the kinds of people that he has come to save. Those the society has forgotten and taken advantage of. His disciples should look at her action and be stirred to change the system. In a lot of ways, Ryan Quixote's actions are seen in a similar and conflicted way. It is a touching and heartwarming story of caring for those around you, for finding friends in all people. And at the same time, it's heartbreaking. Because school lunch debt isn't something that should happen. Students and families should not go into debt so that the students can have needed nourishment during the school day. Now, after hearing Ryan's story, singer Roseanne Cash spoke to GQ magazine, and she said, "I adore this little boy. But why does any child in this country have a lunch debt?" Many others have echoed her sentiment. Now, I am very aware that we started our annual stewardship journey last Sunday. I am also keenly aware that so often this passage has been used as a way for those in the church and those in authority to guilt their parishioners, to give more and more, and to shake them down for their last penny. I am sure that there are some of you in this room that feel that same way about stewardship. But it is never supposed to be like that. Stewardship is never asking you to give everything that you have. Instead, it is a time to look at what you have and to look at the things you support. A chance to reinvest in something that you believe in, to double down on something that helps to support and care for others, that builds community instead of breaking it down, and seeks to welcome and care for all people as beloved children of God. Now, sometimes that is money. Sometimes that's volunteering. Sometimes that is sharing a skill. Ultimately, that is between you and God, although as you're filling out a pledge card, it would be really great if you let us know as well so that we can do our budgeting properly. Together we can do hard things. Together we can support one another. We need each other. This time of year is but one example of how we can look anew at our resources and our needs to better, both metaphorically and literally, care for the orphans and the widows in our midst, to feed those who are hungry, and to build up a community of love. After all, we're friends. That's what we do.